Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wim Lou, speaking to you. Well, this game is technically not over. The game score could still change. The Pistons are up 100-87 against the Toronto Raptors. And I apologize in advance. I think I have a lot emotionally invested in this team. I spend most of my time on this team. This is something that consumes me, and definitely something that I think, you know, likewise for a lot of people. A lot of people are very invested in the Raptors. And the Raptors have had a good year, right? They're coming up on the halfway mark here on the season. They're going to be 20-19. You know, coming into the year, that was about the expectation. Oh, by the way, the score has just changed. Sadiq Bey has nailed a fadeaway three into the crowd to beat the shot clock, and the Raptors are down 103-87 to the Pistons. So anyway, what I was saying is it's been a decent year, so I really want like to have people understand that this comes with a grain of salt. But having said that, this performance by the Raptors today, which is still not over, is tremendously disappointing. Frankly, a disgusting performance. And the immaturity in some of the players, the overall lack of execution by the team, the fact that they don't come out and take certain opponents seriously, especially the Detroit Pistons, who have every reason in the world to be taken seriously by the Toronto Raptors, who all they do every year, year after year, under Dwayne Casey and the magical speeches that he must be giving, is they just tear into the Raptors. And yet the Raptors don't take this team seriously. They just don't. When you look at the last game the Raptors played against the Pistons, they lose 127-121. Now, the good part, you might say, is, well, at least the Raptors played some defense. Please, the way the Raptors played offense tonight, genuinely disgusting. Like, it's actually a waste of time for people to be tuning in to a Raptors-Pistons game, okay? Because look at the result today. You know what? I will give them some credit because at least they played hard until the very end. But this team never led the entire way against the Pistons team coming in this season to this game. 9-31, fresh off a 46-point loss. And the Raptors don't even lead once. Not even like 2-0 at the start of the game. You know, I'll make a little layup, whatever. No, nothing. Zero. No seconds of the game do they lead the game tonight against a team that was 9-31. Although they're 10-31 now, thanks to the fact that 20% of their wins have come against the Raptors so far. This was just, you know what? It's expected in the sense that the Pistons have really had the Raptors' number. But at the same time, it doesn't excuse anything. You know what? It's a fun joke, like, aha, you know, it's, you know, the, you know, Dwayne Casey's bitter about whatever, he gets laid off after he wins Coach of the Year, and I'm sure he tells the story every year after year and whatever. But no, the simple matter of fact is the Raptors got to play better against teams that are not serious like the Pistons, okay? Because the Pistons came out, played like it was a Game 7. The intensity was through the roof. They were just going hard at the Raptors nonstop, and the Raptors just didn't meet that intensity. I'm sorry, but you're still playing on an NBA product. There are people who pay to watch these games. There are people who spend most, a Friday night. There's been work. People have been working all night, all week. It's a pandemic. They finally come home. They got the people build family traditions around watching the game, and then they see this, right? And when you look at the performances, you know what? I don't think it was a perfect performance from Pascal Siakam. I don't think it was a perfect performance by Fred VanVleet. I don't think it was a perfect performance from OG Anunoby. You know what? Excuse those three guys. You know, to some extent, okay? I understand Fred shot 6 of 21, including 0 of 7 from two-point range, getting blocked repeatedly. But he played hard, 24 points, 10 assists, nailed 6 threes, got to the free throw line 8 times. I'm okay with that. I could sleep, you know, soundly, knowing that Fred played hard in 42 minutes to make sure that the Raptors lost by 16 to the Pistons. Same thing for Pascal. 23 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists. You know, he had a stretch in the third quarter where he completed 3-and-1s in a quarter. That's really impressive to me. And the will that he had to push this team, and the fact that, you know, nobody really followed along, but he played hard. OG Anunoby hit some threes early on. It was looking good, but then he kept jump passing, had 5 turnovers in 37 minutes. He was pressing it. He was forcing it, but he played hard. You know, he did what he could. Obviously, there's some limitations to his offensive game right now. I'm going to excuse that. But every other player that came into this game Maybe aside from Ken Burch, who had his nose broken, apparently, after 4 minutes. Classic, just playing against Dwayne Casey. Every single time, you got to get an injury coming out of that. Remember a couple years ago when the Raptors had Pascal got hurt, Mark got hurt, Norm got hurt. Anyway, that's just how it goes, apparently. So Kem gets hurt this time. Someone just has to, you know, apparently bloodshed has to happen in a Raptors-Pistons game. So then what about the rest of the performances? What about Scottie Barnes in 33 minutes? You know, the hype matchup, him versus Cade Cunningham. Not even in the same class. Not even in the same class in this game. Not close. Cade Cunningham, you know, looking like a vet, carving the Raptors apart. The Raptors, for some reason, started Fred VanVleet guarding Cade Cunningham. I'm sorry, the man is 6'7". And I, you know, everyone loves Fred. I love Fred. Everyone knows that Fred can be a gritty defender, but he's 6 foot minus one against 6'7", Cade Cunningham, able to drive, able to get downhill, make tough jumpers, set the Pistons offense up. It was incredible. This guy was unfazed, right? And you look at Scottie, 0 for 4 from 3, just couldn't buy one. There was a play in the first quarter, you know, Scottie and Precious, and oh my God, Precious tonight. That's just such a bad performance of Precious. But you have Scottie and Precious under the basket. Both guys, they're getting the offensive rebound. Not even any Pistons really around, and they just kept missing. Three straight misses at the basket. Like it's 2018 game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals against Cleveland. That kind of style. But Scottie Barnes, 8 points in 4-13 shooting in 33 minutes. Defensively, not good. You know, like just not there. Okay, but you might say, well, you know what? He had knee tendonitis. Just questionable coming to this game. Fine. I'm even willing to give Scottie a pass, even though clearly he was not at his best. But the rest of the guys that come into this game, the guys coming off the bench, let me tell you this. So this is like the sixth time now this season that one player off the opposing bench has single-handedly outscored every single player on the Raptors bench combined. Trey Lyles had 21 points in 33 minutes. And you know what? Trey Lyles is a solid-ish NBA player. He's been in the league a couple years. You know, he's a Canadian, so, you know, all power to him, all right? He showed up for Team Canada, although I got to say, you know, they couldn't beat Czech Republic. I don't know where this Trey Lyles was against Czech Republic. Different story. Apparently, you know, the motivation under the Dwayne Casey's just better than the motivation under Nick Nurse. But Trey Lyles, coming off the Pistons bench, 21 points. And the Raptors bench players combined. And it's not like these guys didn't play. No, everybody played. Everybody, even Malachi Flynn played, all right? He didn't play during the game, but at least he played, right? He got in 1 minute at the very end. That's how much Nick Nurse trusts this guy. In a game where you're down the whole game, every single player gets into the game except for Malachi Flynn. Anyway, but even he got in the game for 1 minute because it was a blowout at the very end. I guess Nick finally said, you know, forget it. Let's just empty the bench. 16 total combined bench points by the Toronto Raptors second unit. 16. And again, guys played. Chris Boucher, 25 minutes. He had 10 of those points. Precious Achiuwa, 25 minutes. 12 for Justin Champagne. 8 for Yuta Watanabe. 6 for Delano. 7 for Svi. Everybody except for Malachi at the very end, who comes in for a minute, you know, was able to play at some point during the game where it was like relatively meaningful. They get into the game. They scored a combined 16 points. I don't know. And the thing is, defensively, it's not like they were giving them that much. Defensively, it was just, it's just such a continuous trend this whole season of just the Raptors bench underperforming. And look, I'm not going to say the Raptors stars performed. Nobody looked like a star today. Nobody tweet hashtag anything NBA All-Star today. No, not for today's game. I don't say these guys don't deserve it. I'm not saying Fred should go to the All-Star game. He should, but not today, okay? Because just, quite frankly, there should be like a filter in Twitter.com or Instagram or wherever we're counting the votes, where if you lose to the Pistons and you never hold a lead against the Pistons, that you should not get all the hashtag NBA All-Star votes should be invalid for that game specifically. I think that's only fair, really, right? But the other part is these guys don't give them anything. So you have to play Pascal 41 minutes in a game where you're about to play three games with four nights. You're about to play a back-to-back the next following day in Milwaukee. You have to play Pascal 41 minutes. You got to play Fred 42 minutes. You got to play OG 37 minutes. Because what's the alternative? Well, to be honest, my preference would have been third quarter. This game didn't look like it was in any sort of prayer or hope of finishing. Just keep them in bubble wrap. I don't want to see another injury against Dwayne Casey's Pistons, who treated this game like a game 7. I don't want to see that. Clearly, the Raptors were going to come in today. It was not their night. Nobody was really scoring well. Fred was like 1 for 15 at some point. It was really hard to watch. at least rest him. But the thing is, you can't really rest him because you're not going to make a comeback at all if you take any of these guys off the floor. It's not like you can come in and say, oh, okay, Precious comes into the game. Utah comes into the game. Justin's going to come into the game. They're going to flip the game. None of that happened. None of that happened. And listen, Nick Nurse tried. Nick Nurse in the first quarter, the camera panned to Nick Nurse, and Nick Nurse was as beat red as the Raptors logo. Nick Nurse's face looked like the Raptors logo, okay? A ball of just red. And that's how upset he was at this game. That's just how it was for the Raptors. Only having 43 points at halftime, 16 points in the second quarter, his second unit just coming in and bricking shots. Yuta Watanabe is like one for his last like 14 in the last like 2 weeks. Justin Champagne, and we just had him on the interviews, you know, he's a great dude. Not a good game today. 4 fouls in 12 minutes. Precious Achiuwa, which, by the way, out of all the bad performances we saw today, the things that we saw from Precious were mind-boggling. Not necessarily in the sense that, you know, he didn't give the Raptors something. Like, I thought defensively he gave them a little bit of a presence. You know, got 8 rebounds in 25 minutes. Like, that's something. The fact that in the first quarter, this is how seriously the Raptors were taking this game, okay? Sequence before this. Hamidou Diallo, 6'6", he's very athletic, but like, so 6'6" guard, beats 3 Raptors to a rebound. And by him beating the 3 Raptors to the rebound, he's able to kick it ahead, the Pistons score in transition. The Raptors go the other way, Precious has the ball, brings the ball at half court, and it's like, okay, at that point, you know, as the center, you give up the ball. But no, he's going to keep the ball. He's going to drive towards the baseline. He's going to spin on the baseline. And without the ball touching anybody else other than Precious Achiuwa, he fades away for a baseline jumper like Kobe. How is that a shot that is ever allowed to be taken by Precious Achiuwa? How is that an offensive possession in the NBA? Like, for real, how is that actually an offensive possession that happens in professional basketball at the highest level? I question that. And, of course, it's not a one-off. Oh, later in the game, in the fourth quarter, Precious Achiuwa turns down a wide-open three. I don't really like him taking threes, but if you're wide open, you just kind of have to take them, right? Turns it down, but what does he do? Dribble inside the arc, one dribble, mid-range, baseline pull-up, another brick. Why? Is that something that is that like an actual directive from the coach? I cannot believe that. I know Nick is a very smart man. I know he's a disciplined man. He would not allow that to happen. But this is the kind of stuff that was happening for the team. They did not take this game seriously. And here's the thing: you can get caught with your pants down once in a while against an opponent. You know, like, I get it. The Pistons had 9 wins coming into the season or this game. I get it. Like, maybe you don't. You know, yeah. Maybe you look at the last game, you watch the tape, you're like, okay, yeah, it's the Pistons, whatever. You know, oh, they lost 46 points, whatever, okay. But how many times in a row? How many times, though? Like, the Raptors haven't beaten the Pistons since the pandemic started. We're in year 3 of the pandemic. Now, the Pistons thankfully didn't go to the bubble, but they probably would have beaten the Raptors in the bubble as well. But last season, 0-3 against the Pistons. Right, here are the number of points Raptors gave up in those 3 losses. 129, 118, 116. Who won the Pistons last season? This is before they had Cade Cunningham. Who won the Pistons last season could even score 20 points for you so that you have to give up 129, 118, 116. And then earlier this season, the Raptors had the same thing. 127 points given up to the Pistons. Now, I would say that this game is progress because at least they played better defense, but there's no better defense in this game. The Pistons shot 47% from the field. They got a lot of wide open threes. A lot of them didn't make it. Although, I have to say, between Sadiq Bey's fading three at the end, between Corey Joseph just flicking one up from half court and that magically going in, they did have a couple of fortunate makes, but to be honest, they were open quite a bit. They got great offense today. They got 23 free throws. They did everything pretty well offensively. The Raptors couldn't pressure them. Only 8 turnovers for the Pistons. The Raptors' whole defensive strategy is let's force them into turnovers. And three of the turnovers were Isaiah Stewart committing offensive fouls. So those aren't even like live ball turnovers. That's just him like running into dudes. He's the only Piston who didn't have a good game today, right? The guy who had 9 layups against the Raptors the last game. Seriously, this is how unseriously the Raptors take the games, that a guy can have 9 layups in one game. A center, no less. Like, maybe pick up a center. I don't know. So Isaiah Stewart had a bad game today. 4 personal fouls, you know, 3 turnovers, you know, 15 minutes of foul trouble the whole game. Everybody else with the Pistons just comes in, execute their offense. It was, you know, quite frankly, impressive to watch. I was like, wow, that's professional basketball. Meanwhile, on the other end, for the Raptors, the possessions that they put together, it wasn't just like, oh, they were running great offense and they were just missing wide open threes, that they were like clean mint threes for, you know, their best shooters. No, it was some hurried offense. It was, you know, the Pistons smartly going to a zone because they realized the Raptors, you know, the last game, you know, hey, listen, you know, that people scout the game, turns out. And so they watched the last game against the Suns, and they were like, hold on, the Raptors only had 2 guys the whole 48 minutes who made threes. Everyone else missed a three. So let's just zone. Let's take away the paint. Let's you know, jump out at Fred. Let's double team, triple team Pascal. We'll let OG sort of do a little ball handling kind of stuff. Oh, yeah, you know, like, okay, we'll throw a defender at him last second. He'll jump the pass. He'll turn it over. You know, we're not going to get beat by OG and Anobi like that. Scotty Barnes, who knows what he's going to be because he was, you know, questionable, but clearly he wasn't at his best, right? So that's what the performance is, and they just literally ignore everyone else. But, yeah, not a very good offensive performance. I would say the Raptors tried to play really fast and try to get early possessions, but the Pistons did a really good job of getting back in transition. Again, this is game 7 for them. So, you know, they're going to be back in transition. You're not just going to get easy baskets on transition. It's not the Kings you're talking about, right? Like, so aside from that, what else were you really going to do? Fred was missing a lot. A lot. And to be honest, he was taking some really hard shots, but he was missing a lot. Now, he still had 6 threes, which was kind of incredible. And he had 10 assists. I don't even remember the Raptors making 10 baskets. So the fact that he had 10 assists, I might have to double check that. But there was that. And then there was Pascal Siakam driving downhill. And he was the only one who could get something going offensively. Now, he missed a fair share of bunnies at the rim. He missed a couple of free throws, whatever. But he at least had the focus to sort of try to push this team. But him alone wasn't enough. You know, like, you're not going to beat any team going 1-on-5. So it was a tough performance. And listen, but for Nick tried. Nick tried. You know, you can never say Nick doesn't try. And Nick will get creative. And whether that is playing a zone in the first quarter, whether that is playing a full court press in the third quarter, whether that is, you know, just playing all sorts of different lineups with like 3 bigs or 2 bigs and whatever, like, he'll try stuff. He really will try stuff. But, you know, he switched up the assignments. You know, there was less of Fred guarding Cade Cunningham in the second half because he was like, oh, right, Cade is like, you know, a wing, right? Let's maybe not just give them a mismatch right off the top for their best player. But it just wasn't there. And just a highly disappointing performance from the team. And again, it was something from start to finish, whether that was Ken Burch getting blocked at the rim, whether that was, you know, Chris Boucher, you know, throwing a random casual pass that gets tipped and the Raptors turn it over and live ball turnover, Pistons get out and score, whether that's OG Anunoby driving and just, you know, leaving his feet and passing, he just kept doing it. But wow, just a really bad game. And again, Nick tried too, in terms of he tried everybody. Like, okay, so his first sub, you know, in the second quarter was Champagne, right? His first 2 guys coming off the bench was Chris Boucher and Precious Achiuwa. Really only played 7 guys in the first quarter, right? Goes to Justin Champagne. He didn't give them anything. So then he goes to Yuta, comes in, misses a 3. You know, he goes to Delano. I don't know what he's expecting from Delano, but he looks completely lost and disengaged. Once per game, he'll come in. No matter how few minutes he'll play, he will turn the ball over once. And it's usually just like on an inbound play where it's just like a lack of focus. Maybe he's just not prepared to come into the game, but just nothing from him. And then Svi gets a chance to play in the second half. And Svi, as you would always expect, 0 for 2 from 3 in 7 minutes. You know, even, by the way, Svi used to play for the Pistons, and he used to come and put like 15, 16, 17 points on the Raptors easily. So, you know, it's kind of incredible to see this sort of transformation here. But Nick tried guys. He tried different guys. He tried different strategies. Just nothing responded. And he was on the refs. He was angry. Obviously, at one point, you know, the refs are calling everything. You know, the Raptors are in the bonus, like, I don't know, 7 minutes left in the second quarter, and it's pretty amazing. And they were in the bonus for 7 full minutes, and they scored 16 points in that quarter. Like, it's stuff like that. And then it's stuff that, you know what makes it worse is when you start to see the stats start, when people start to clue in, like, oh, wow, look at the Pistons doing this to the Raptors. I didn't expect that. And then you start to see the research come out of, did you know that the Pistons didn't have a single 20-point lead at any point this season? But they played literally 41 games. That's half a year. The Pistons didn't have a single 20-point lead until they saw the Raptors here tonight. You know, stats like that, where you just realize how frustrating this game was. And you could tell the players started getting real frustrated too. Fred, as even-keeled as he was frustrated. Pascal was frustrated. You could hear them yelling. You could hear them yelling at their teammates. You could hear their, you know, coach, you know, Nick Nurse, just screaming. Again, he was beat red. But nothing. Just no response. And the Pistons handled the Raptors like it was nothing. And when you compare this Raptors performance to the other games that they played this season where they've had nice wins, whether that was against Philly on the road, whether that was against Milwaukee on the road, whether it was Milwaukee at home. You know, the Raptors have had some pretty good games this year. They've had some pretty nice wins. I'm not saying the Raptors are that great of a team. Like, they're 500, really, right? Like, but they've had their fair share. But when you look at some of the losses they've had, I mean, twice now you've lost to the Pistons. The Raptors shouldn't be losing to the Pistons. No serious team should be losing to the Pistons. I understand the Pistons beat the Jazz. The Pistons are playing better right now. It doesn't matter. A team that can really lock in and focus and put together a competent effort should be able to beat the Pistons. But alas, you know, it just wasn't to be. And yeah, it's frustrating. It really is frustrating. Again, I apologize to people who, you know, made time in their to start their weekend with this. It is just such a bad way to start it. And it's frustrating. It's incredibly frustrating. The Raptors are now 0-5 against Dwayne Casey since the pandemic started. That is just tough. And honestly, let's be real. Dwayne Casey was beating the Raptors when the Raptors won the championship. Literally, the Raptors had Marc Gasol, Kawhi Leonard, Serge Ibaka, you know, all these other guys who literally went on to win a championship with the team. They were 3-0 against the Raptors that year. So, you know, this is nothing new necessarily, but wow, this game might be more frustrating than some of those losses. You know, because at the end of the day, you knew that the Raptors in those games weren't really, like, even last year in the pandemic, you know, season when they played in Tampa, yeah, they lost some games, but really the Raptors season was kind of derailed at that point. So if Mason Plumlee has a triple-double, which, by the way, Mason Plumlee had a triple-double against the Raptors. I don't even know if he's in the league right now. You know, fine. So be it. You know, the Raptors weren't doing something last year. They were tanking. Fine. Losing is, I guess, going to help you get Scottie Barnes on the team eventually, right? The year before that, the Raptors actually beat the Pistons. They were 3-0 against the Pistons that year, although the Pistons every single game injured a Raptors. So didn't really feel like a 3-0. Felt like the Raptors just kept losing players, playing against a bad team. The year before that, the championship year, they're 3-0. The Pistons were against the Raptors. But hey, listen, we knew the Raptors were going to go to the playoffs with no concern, and clearly everything worked out for the best that year. This year in particular, though, these two losses to the Pistons have been by far the most frustrating two results on the year for the Raptors. And I don't know what it will take for this team to remember that they are not playing. When the Raptors play the Pistons, it is not a 9-win team. It is not a 5-win team, or whatever the Pistons were the last time they beat the Raptors in December. They have to remember that this is a Game 7 for them. So you have to come in and come with that same approach, because otherwise you will be frustrated and you will be upset, and Nick will be, you know, checking his blood pressure after the game. And, you know, the reaction podcast is going to sound like this, and the stat lines are going to look like 6-21 from the field, or 5-14 with 5 turnovers, and you're going to lose to the Pistons, stuff like that. You have to remember that. Don't take this opponent lightly. This is what the Pistons have done to the Raptors for years. So another bad performance of the Raptors. The bench, there's nothing fixing the bench. They just got to upgrade the bench. If they want to do anything this year in the playoffs, which, by the way, I don't really see, unless they make like a game-changing trade, I don't really see the Raptors specifically getting past the first round. Okay, but if you want to get to the playoffs this year and at least sort of look respectable there, they got to get something off the bench, because you're not even going to make it to the playoffs if you play these guys 45 minutes every single game, especially on the first night of a back-to-back. I mean, you're about to play Milwaukee next. Milwaukee just smacked the Warriors. Like, smack the Warriors. It was like 77-39 at halftime for Milwaukee. All right, so you're about to play them. Giannis is going to be healthy this time around, right? Giannis didn't play the first two. You know, Milwaukee's, you know, 0-2 against the Raptors this year. Trust me, they'll have something on their mind thinking, okay, we got to finally see the Raptors with our full squad. And they're going to play tomorrow. So you just played Fred 42 minutes. You played Pascal 41 minutes. And for what? Right? So this game is frustrating all around. And just, I got to say, congrats to Dwayne Casey. Honestly, this man must give the best speeches. Like, they got to go to the open gym crew in Detroit for just Dwayne Casey's speeches. Because I have to, it has to be the most motivating thing. Like, I would love to play it, like, before, you know, share it with my little brother so that before he takes a final exam, he can listen to Dwayne Casey's speech. He'd probably get 105% on his exam. You know, like, that's the kind of level of inspiration that the Pistons seem to get against the Raptors every time they play. But you know what? Good for him, honestly. Like, it is what it is, you know? I'd be mad, too, if I won Coach of the Year and then got laid off and then saw my assistant go on to take that team with Kawhi added and with Mark added to win the championship. But, you know, in the meantime, he has to coach the Pistons and the Pistons play well. Forget the three stars in the game. There are no real stars in this game. Let's be real. Nobody played well enough for the Raptors to be considered a star. Let's take the inverse approach of that. Let's take the three worst players on the Raptors tonight. Number one for me is Precious Achiuwa. I couldn't believe the kind of jumpers he was taking at one point. And you know what? This might speak to the refereeing in this game, but forget that. There was a play in the third quarter where the Pistons player, I forget who it was, tripped over, had the ball in his hands, was like lying on the baseline, just desperately trying to find someone to pass it to get rid of the ball because he's lying on the ground. And Precious comes over, claws at him, and they called a foul. He fouled a man lying down on the floor. He fouled a man lying down on the floor. The mid-range jumpers, the fact that he missed so many shots of the rim, yeah, Precious is your number one anti-star. Number two anti-star for me has to go to Delano Banton. I don't understand why he's just so unfocused when he comes into the game. Or just be prepared to come into the game. Like, it can't be every single time you come into the game and you have a turnover. That's pretty bad. You know, to be honest, you could share this with Svi. You could share this with Utah. You know, I honestly, Utah came in, wasn't good at all. Really, Svi came in, wasn't good at all. Like, there's a lot of anti-stars. Just maybe figure it out between those two. Those are your anti-stars. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that's got to go to Trey Lyles. Looking like, I don't know, man, prime Amari Stoudemire out there tonight. 21 points, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 6 of 10 from the field, 9 of 10 from the free throw line. Just kept getting behind the Raptors. I mean, the Raptors, just all they talked about this week was, oh, Pascal. They called me Pascal Rodman. Chris Boucher. I've been watching Dennis Rodman tape. Justin Champagne. Yeah, you know, my college coach used to show me Rodman tapes. There's 3 Rodmans on the team, and not one can box out Trey Lyles. So that's the kind of performance it was tonight. Again, I apologize. Like I said at the very start of the program, clearly the Raptors have had a lot of positive things going on. This is specifically a moment in time where you're sort of emotionally reacting to a game. So I apologize. Obviously, I feel more confidence than what the team specifically showed today. But unfortunately, today was another frustrating incident. So the Raptors versus the Pistons. I saw the Raptors were, 9.5-point favorites? I'm sorry. That was free money. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, everyone, who didn't turn off the radio. And, yeah, you can find all episodes of the Raptors Show wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, subscribe. And I'll be back tomorrow, hopefully, to see the Raptors play a better effort tomorrow against the Milwaukee Bucks because they owe it to themselves after what they did tonight. Thank you.